I have a whole thing about people referring to people as their wives or girlfriends or husbands. Like, give them a name so that you can introduce them the first time in conversation and then refer to them as a person from there on. But anyway.
Very interesting.
So I said to her, I was like, I have something really embarrassing to admit to. She was like, what's that? I was like, occasionally, when I am transferring the trains at Broadway Lafayette, I call it to myself, rice pilaf. This is now the first time I've admitted that in public. So,
how does it feel?
Thank you for giving me a forum to kind of come clean with the jokes that you tell yourself that you think are funny.
I think that's important. I'm glad we can provide that. Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guests' digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for comedy gold. I am Matt Straub.
And I am Nicole Dressbell, and our guest is writer slash producer slash director slash father of two slash record collector and co-host of Just Not Sports Podcast, Gareth Hughes. Gareth, welcome to the show.
Did that clarify it at all? The log line there?
Yeah, we're mining your life for comedy gold.
I think there's probably something related to any and all of those things in here.
Okay, let's start off with, who do you not want to email?
Email. Roulette.
So is this going to end with me sending an email?
It could. So what will happen is Matt and I will help you write this email.
Okay.
And then at the end of the show, you'll read a trivia question. Nope. We'll read a trivia question. You have two chances to get it right. If you get it wrong, you're sending the email.
Oh.
Here's something to know. Sometimes you write an email to a person, don't send it, but they still hear the podcast. You have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So you have to pick your subject wisely.
I was thinking about, like, who are the strangest people that would be in my inbox? And I use a Gmail account, and I got my Gmail account back when a Gmail account was something you had to get.
When, like, it was like
you had
an
to be invite,
invite
only.
Only.
Right, exactly. And I got the invite from my friend Sia. And then you got six invites that you were allowed to send out. Now, my wife, girlfriend at the time, Amy, was at that moment working on the old Showtime show Brotherhood about the Providence mob.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
So she was a production manager on that. And somebody came in one day. It was with one of the stars, Jason Isaacs, who is now on Star Trek on CBS. I think it's Star Trek Discovery. Most importantly for this story, Brotherhood, he wanted a Gmail account. And nobody on the set had a Gmail account or any invites. So Amy called me up at work and said, can you send an email invite to Jason Isaacs?
You are the reason he has Gmail.
Correct.
One presumes he wouldn't have it without you.
No, he probably would have gone with GeoCities if it hadn't been for me.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge.
This is huge. This is a first. This is groundbreaking.
I love this. Yeah. I love everything about this.
This is a very 2004 story between Brotherhood, the invites, all of it.
Gareth, let's open a compose box.
Okay. Oh, I have an email. I got an email while we've been sitting here. So this email is from Todd. Todd is a neighbor of mine. He is a local dad, and he and I have done some creative projects together in Brooklyn, where we live. Our kids are friends there as well. And so we have a standing Friday afternoon phone call where we check in on each other and see how our progress is going. I am currently blowing off that phone call to do this interview.
Wait, see how your progress as fathers or creatively?
Creatively. Like, how's this project going? How's that project going?
I had a friend, we used to send each other emails every Monday, and then we would check in every Sunday night on like our to-do lists.
It's like an accountability thing.
That's great. That's wonderful.
But what we realize is, especially me, like, I have come up under the bosom of network production, and so I know how to work well on deadlines. But then when it comes to self-motivation, I could put things off indefinitely.
Yes, I know about
that. Like, for your whole life.
Yes.
So this is a way to be more accountable to each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. So,
that's good. I'll be joining your call next Friday. All right. I don't have a subject line yet. I do have an intro line that I want to go to. I think it's just simple J-Bone, exclamation point. Not feeling it at all. Nicole just gave me a look like,
I'm not feeling it, which is probably means you should do it.
All right, we'll leave it for now. We can always revise.
Yes.
I'm big on write a first draft.
Yes.
You can go back.
You're completely
And we will
right.
take a second pass at it later. Okay, so one thing, I was so excited about J-Bone, which everyone hated. We didn't really talk about what we would actually email him
about. I think we're checking to see how his email's doing.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Because the very act of sending him an email, I think, is, this doesn't have to be the craziest content email we've sent, right?
No, because the very act of reaching out at all is bananas.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. And calling this person J-Bone.
Yeah. Yes. Subject line is still emailing? Question mark.
Oh, hang on. Whoa, my phone. I'm getting a call. Wait.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Nicole.
Do you know what my favorite part of our show is?
Spending time with me.
Oh, you got that wrong. It's the trivia parts, but that is also, it's sort of like you did a trivia question and you got it wrong.
Oh, yeah. So I have to send an email now.
I have a trivia question for you.
Okay, hit me with it.
Matt, what is Wing?
I think I know this.
What is it?
Wing is a new digital phone carrier, and I believe it's stress-free and saves you money.
You are correct, Matt. Ding, ding, ding. You got one for me?
Yes. What is your average monthly cell phone bill?
Ooh, honestly? Average monthly cell phone bill, probably over $100 a month.
Yeah, mine is too. Do you know how much a Wing user's average bill is?
Ooh, I'm gonna guess $35 a month.
Ding, that's correct.
Hey, Matt, if most Wing users switch over from a major carrier, about how much would they end up saving a month?
I'm gonna say 30%. Okay, and also, Nicole,
yes.
Like what kind of cell towers does it use?
Matt, I think they use the same cell towers as major carriers.
That's right.
So you're getting the same coverage.
Correct.
But for less.
Correct again.
Are there strings attached?
No.
Matt, are there hidden fees?
No.
Wow. Matt, what happens if you don't use all of your data in a month? Right? They probably ship it off to data upstate data farms and you lose all your money.
You don't, Nicole.
What?
You get your money back, so you only pay for what you use.
That's fair.
It seems very fair.
It's very fair. All right, Matt, how does this work, though?
Okay, ready? You get to keep your same phone number and phone when you switch over to Wing.
Ding.
Part one. The setup takes just a few minutes, and you're never without service, and you won't lose anything on your phone.
Ding.
Wing offers family plan, unlimited plans, and international data.
Ding.
Wing handles the entire switch for you, so you never have to call your carrier or waste time in a store.
I hate stores.
Stores are terrible. Now, if you have a lease, you ready for this?
Apartment lease or phone lease?
Well, apartment lease might apply, but in this case, we're talking about phones.
Great.
Wing will even carry that lease over to them, so nothing is holding you back from switching.
Well, but Matt, what if on day 29, I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure about this.
That would be good timing because you have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there is nothing to lose. The average person saves 30% on their bill when they switch.
Right now, you can get $25 off your first phone bill with Wing when you go to wingalpha.com. Click Join Wing and enter the promo code INBOX.
Just go to wingalpha.com. That's WINGALPHA.com. Click Join Wing and enter the code INBOX. It's time to get with a phone carrier that is actually nice to you.
So is the premise of some of this that we're in a post-email society?
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
Great. That's interesting.
Interesting.
Look, I'm going to sound old here for a second. We all know I'm old enough to have gotten a Gmail account in 2004. But these are all just the same way to communicate in different packaging.
Yes.
Like text has become email. It's just like
annoyance
that I'm expected to reply to immediately.
Somebody
said on Twitter, and I wish I had captured this, but they were like, I have two reply speeds, immediate and lasting damage to our friendship.
Yep. All right. Still emailing? Question mark?
Okay.
J-Bone, how's your email doing? This is Gareth. You might remember me as the person who sired your email address.
Because now there's a real sexual vibe to this whole thing.
So here's my problem with sired is I just was thinking about it in the vampire context.
Okay.
Right? Because if you are the person who turns someone, you're their sire, right? Rachel, can you confirm or deny?
And if you are emailing, are you still using Gmail? Have you found something better I should know about?
Great. Yes. Is it time to return the favor?
Yeah. And if so, do you have an invite?
Yes, exactly.
I read something years ago that said the way to get your longer email read is to do more short paragraphs.
Great.
So we're going to do that. We're going to carriage return here.
Great. If this new program is some sort of celebrity exclusive program,
okay,
I don't think that would count me out. As we've said, I'm a public figure.
On the podcast that I'm sure you heard, if you don't already subscribe. This is going to get snobby, but I might be able to do something here. Star Trek Discovery Peabody Awards.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it hasn't been on long enough to win a Peabody. Oh, they're no, it was nominated.
They lost out. Okay.
Oh.
I'm a public figure. I, along with Just Not Sports, won a Peabody.
Yes, yes.
This is getting a little asshole-y.
It's so, fine.
Okay, thanks.
It's great.
Actually managed to win.
Managed. Mm-hmm. You're really, yeah. That's a nice hedge.
Yeah. Peabody in 2016.
The same award.
The same award.
Which you were robbed.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
Good save. Thank you, thank you. Which you and the rest
the
of
crew.
Your hardworking cast and crew.
And put crew in quotes because it's both their actual crew and also the crew of the Enterprise.
God, you are good at this.
Thank you so much. We've done it a lot.
Amy, I the other part of this that's kind of funny is Amy, who started all this by working with Jason Isaacs.
Yes.
This is something, she's a Trekkie.
Interesting.
My wife is a Trekkie. And so one of the first times I met my wife, I was in, again, dating, a group costume as Raleigh St. Clair of the Royal Tenenbaums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was dressed as a member of the Star Trek TNG crew.
Oh, interesting. So her fandom progressed with series.
Yeah, so she does original and TNG for sure.
Gotcha.
And I don't think she's followed the rest as much. She's seen every movie that's ever been made.
Is she watching Discovery?
No.
That's okay.
And it's not even, I don't think that even has anything to do with show fatigue. It has to do with outlet fatigue.
Yes.
You can't add, I don't pay for Spotify Premium because the day they wanted me to start paying for it, I burned out on passwords and subscriptions.
Yep.
And I know it's stupid. I can't
They do. I don't pay for Spotify either. They do try to make the ads as unpleasant as possible.
They're smart about it. I get it. But
the ads the ads that are just a crowd of people yelling are so bad.
Okay, but so you guys make a podcast. And you work in production. I know that.
Yeah.
What do you?
I work in TV. Yes.
All right. So you've got just before you turn the key on any media, you've got probably a Vimeo account, a WeTransfer account, a Dropbox account, all this other stuff.
Yep.
And then you're starting to get into your Netflix, Hulu's, HBO on demands, etc.
Which, as of this year, you can't write off anymore.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, most deductions are going away, and I think the expenses deductions are going away. I may be talking out of my ass.
Well, I picked a great time to become a freelancer.
Yeah,
that was
really
smart. Nice.
Where did you leave?
NBC Sports.
So you're freelance though?
Yeah.
Oh.
If anybody wants to hire me.
Literally cleaned out his desk today.
Literally today.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. How are you feeling about that?
Pretty good. Pretty good. 14 and a half years.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty good. I don't
know
what's on the side.
Did you send the goodbye email and here's my personal email account?
I did. Yes. I did.
What are you trying to do?
Trying to get into just some other kinds of production and comedy work and just see where things go as a freelancer.
Where's your wedding ring, bro?
Oh, mine. Yeah. No, I injured my finger playing basketball and I can't get it on.
Okay,
I left it at home.
Because I was about to be like, oh yeah, also a dad, married dad in sports. And I was like, what's this guy doing?
Because anytime I mention that, it comes up that I'm married and people look. And then
you're a liar.
Yeah. No, but my wife knows that I don't have it.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a whole conversation about it.
Good.
I did a lot of rock climbing for a while and I didn't wear it when I was rock climbing
a bunch.
And then I stopped doing that because I got busy again. And now I wear my wedding ring again.
Yeah. What were we trying to accomplish here? You're trying to get an invite to any email.
To a new exclusive celebrity email program we invented.
Okay, hold on a second. Beyond just exclusive email services, is there anything else
celebrities get
that I should know about?
Yes.
And take part in, or get access to take part in. Yeah, yeah.
I'm new to this whole thing.
Right. Hold on a second. I've been told PayPal croissant.
Ooh, you did. Did you buy a $99 croissant?
Well, that looks. That might be some kids' clothes thing.
Great.
Oh, okay.
That might be something weird. We'll deal
a possibly urgent alert from a financial.
We'll deal with the credit card fraud
after we finish this
podcast.
Email.
I will actually forward that to Amy.
This is happening live. I like
this.
Is this
you? All right. Okay. Back to this. Beyond just exclusive
$99 feels like a sneaky, sneaky amount.
Very sneaky, sneaky.
What does the email from Croissant say?
It's from PayPal.
Like,
I paid PayPal to Croissant.
Croissant is a co-working space app.
Oh, that is definitely Amy.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh, okay.
Amy, who is available for any and all of your event production needs. She you know what? She's been a great conduit to me. She got me into television into production. I used to be a baker and pastry chef before all
Croissant.
This. Croissant. I have made some croissants and folded pastry.
They're very difficult. Aren't they difficult?
So here's my thing on baking, and I will tell you this as someone who did it professionally. Just before you undertake that stuff at home, like, don't make puff pastry at home. Don't make croissants at home.
Really?
Because it involves so much folding. And really, if you want to do it right, a pastry sheeter, proof boxes, things to warm and cool it. If you, especially in New York, like, if you can't temperature control your apartment, it's a bad idea.
Can't have,
like,
that dough getting hot.
Correct.
Can't have it.
You got to keep the butter cold.
Right.
Until you can get enough layers in there.
Right.
And things like that.
So beyond just exclusive email services, is there anything also anything else celebrities get that I should know about and take part in? If my original email invite is not enough.
Not enough. Hold on. To solidify
yes.
our friendship. Bond or friendship? What do you go with? Yeah, bond is a little more weighty. Okay, go on.
I also make croissants. And then just sign off.
Croissants and a mean chocolate cake.
Ah.
Hope you're well.
GH.
All best. Don't you want to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Cheers.
You know, that's his. Like, then I'll sound like someone who studied abroad or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's fair. Ugh, guys, GH. I do cheers, and I don't feel good about it. A girl I thought was cool in college did it, and now I keep doing it, and I can't stop. It's bad. Should I really stop?
Tough.
Should I stop?
One of my best friends, he always signed off handshake, bro hug. Good times.
And I
picked up good times.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
good times.
It.
I like.
But I just, I feel weird because I know exactly where it infected me.
Yes. I mean, I remember the email I got.
Yeah. So.
All right.
So
let's.
You know what I actually usually write? I screwed up because I wrote, hope you're well. Like, we are. Okay. So I. Okay. As we get back to hashtag me too.
I also love that you keep saying that, and we're going to keep that in. Remember that we cut the original time we talked about hashtag me too.
Yeah, I know.
So
yes,
it's going to sound crazy to listeners.
Yeah, well, whatever. can you include that I'm making the hashtag
yes,
with my fingers?
You're making two fingers over fingers.
Yeah, yeah. So my first job out of college was writing freelance scripts for the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I always loved that he signed off with be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Yep.
So I actually picked up Be Well.
That's great.
My usual email sign off.
Be Well's great. Yes.
Yeah. So we have now pulled up Jason's email address, and I have his old Hotmail address because that's where I had to send the original Gmail invite to.
That's wild.
But you guys can vouch for the fact that this is real.
Yes, we're looking at it, and it is real.
So.
Excellent.
Okay.
Feel the power surging.
I know. It's so stressful.
It's terrifying. All right, minimize
when
that.
Hold on a second. When you write an email like this, will you put the address in at the beginning, or do you go back at the end and put it in?
Like on this show?
No. Just like you have to write an email
at the end.
Like
if it's a really important one, I'm scared to send it. I'll put it
in
at the end.
End.
Yeah.
Good strategy.
I think so. I mean, I've never really thought about what I'm
doing. No, I'm always afraid of accidentally hitting send somehow.
Yeah.
Because you're a tab and an enter away from sending that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You fat finger and all of a sudden, oh, I guess that's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
All right. I will also, I am, as you can see by my drafts folder, which has 1,325 drafts. My inbox is zero, but my drafts folder is at 1,325. I am a big drafter, take notes in Gmail, things like that.
Interesting. And you're never going back and cleaning them up.
Then those will live forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. The biggest number I dare say we've seen in,
for sure.
in 30
drafts?
Plus episodes of the show, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hold on. I just got an IM from Amy. Hi, can't talk right now. Doing podcasts. Oh, yes, that croissant charges me.
Great. Okay. So let's go. Let's get some tasks done. Let's verify that charge.
Okay. So we're going to verify the charge.
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. But thank you, Capital One. That's a great service you provide.
Let's take a look at these drafts.
All right.
Oh, what's in the box?
Remember, 1325 is the number. 1,325.
Okay, so this is from a recent shoot I did for CBS. These were interview question notes and research on Justin Thomas, PGA golfer. Let's see. These two are nothing. Yo, what up? Dogs. This is an email to my podcast brethren. So yeah, so I do the Just Not Sports podcast every week. Yay. Booty rappers stay booty.
Brad, a very long email that you did not send.
Lots of paragraphs though. Well spaced.
I have to say, like, I mean, we're at that space as a podcast where we've had some success and won some awards and are now doing a podcast week to week for 100 episodes, and we're trying to figure out what's next. And I think you've probably gone through that.
Yeah.
I say something in here that by way of the podcast, I think you'll understand. I think the problem with working in sports, and tell me if you agree with this, the longer I do it, nothing matters to me but the games.
Yeah.
It's the competition. That's the only thing that sports is.
I mean, ultimately, that's the main thing I consume. Yeah. As someone who worked in sports TV for over 14 years.
And so, like, I find sports on the daily basis very hard to cover in the way that you kind of need to sometimes for a podcast. Like,
but your podcast also, we should say, is Just Not Sports, and you guys bring on a sports-related person and try not to talk sports with them, right?
Yeah, we talked to Imani Safford McGee this week, like, about her poetry. And I don't know, I would like to think that
that's
we are
cool.
The only sports podcast in America this month probably that has referenced Ann Sexton. So,
right.
You know, like, that's
pretty high likelihood.
Yeah. Something we can
that's
hang our
awesome.
Hat on. Let's see. So this was also for the podcast. We did a WWE draft of WWE. Oh, yeah.
I heard that one. Yeah.
I was proud of that segment. That was fun.
Bowling outing.
Yes. This draft just says bowling outing.
Do you like to bowl?
I don't bowl. I don't find myself very good at it.
You have a very interesting system in that it's a lot of outline, a lot of bullets, but it's two dash and then whatever the thing is.
So here's what I'll also do, though. I'll start the notes here. They will eventually migrate to to a Google Doc.
The one that says Xmas? Is that a Christmas list to your wife that you never sent?
Oh, gift ideas for you. This is a great story, actually.
Yes.
Gift ideas for you from my parents. Complete Far Side cartoon collection.
Yes.
I never sent it.
So what'd you get for Christmas?
From Anthony, our Emmy winning and now Sports Emmy nominated again editor that I work with every year. I got, coincidentally.
This is crazy.
The two volume.
This is insane.
Hardcover, complete Far Side cartoon.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you kind of put it out into the universe, but you didn't even send it as an email.
Listen, I love that you're talking about this because I also love that I'm talking to you on the day you cleaned out your desk.
Yeah.
Because, on some backstory, I spent last year like working on a project with a guy who, it was a documentary project. He was sick. He ended up dying. It was sad for all of us. But one of the things we dealt with was just like there was this sense of the uncanny that was happening a lot. Like, things were lining up on strange days or patterns were repeating themselves in the universe. I came from a very logical, science-y background. And so, like, but in the last year, like, I've gone and gotten my astrological charts read and I've learned about meditation and just sort of trying to make sense of just these sort of patterns. Like, when you put something out in the universe like that and it comes back to you. Oh, man, look, like, these are podcast notes. I wanted to talk about Alex Honnold reading American Heiress and listening to Chicano Batman. So that's what that is. All right. Willem de Kooning just celebrated a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I saved this quote. I am not interested in abstracting or taking things out or reducing painting to design, form, line, and color. I paint this way because I can keep putting more things in it. Drama, anger, pain, love, a figure, a horse, my ideas about space. Through your eyes, it again becomes an emotion or idea.
Fascinating.
I love that you paint abstractly to get more ideas in. You can get whatever you want in. All right, here's a bit of copy we wrote for that Dave piece last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny thing about your freshman year roommate. For a lot of people, it's the last moment of your life when you have absolutely no control over who you are going to live with. A stranger in a housing office somewhere takes a questionnaire, adds some demographic info, and maybe a hit of chance or whimsy. Et voila, you have a roommate. What was the name of your freshman year roommate?
Elise.
Elise?
Mm-hmm.
Fernando.
Are you guys still in touch?
We are in touch, like one of the few, like, I haven't deleted my Facebook account yet, and he's like one of the people who, like, I still hear from on Facebook. It's like, this is
why you keep
few, like, remaining values of this for me.
Yeah. And are you guys?
No, and I wish we were, because she was super cool. We were both just, like, socially weird a little bit, I think.
I get it. Where'd you go to school?
Wellesley in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. And you?
Brown.
Cool.
Are you still in touch with your freshman year roommate?
Ross. No, I'm not, but I wish him well. There's, like, no beef there or anything like that.
Do you ever, like, have just text exchanges with people? Do you text much? Does the conversation ever make its way to text?
I had iMessages open.
Yeah.
I figured we could do some of this kind of stuff. Hold on. This is Josh. He and I went to school together. It was just his birthday last week, and I forgot to send him a birthday message. Happy birthday, buddy. Sorry, I missed the actual date. So.
This is also very funny, because one of your last texts to him was wishing somebody else in his life a happy birthday.
Oh, it was his one-year-old, his son's first birthday. This?
Yeah. Why is somebody in your phone?
All right.
As
this
Poopy Pants.
Yeah, this last name we will use. This is Nick Poopy Pants.
Yeah, we're gonna use his last name because I can only presume it's not real.
It's so yes, he is stored in there as Nick Poopy Pants. But then when I go to email him,
oh no,
I start to type
Poopy Pants.
Right.
And there he goes.
And it doesn't go through. I need to because the first letter is actually a U. So let's see. We've
Poppy
got.
Pants.
No wrong. Yeah, we had a wrong Nick, some emailing about the Patriots, a photo of the Patriots cheerleaders skating with Nancy Kerrigan.
Why?
A graphic I wanted him to build because it was the Super Bowl and you could do anything that would promote. So
is she from Boston?
Yes,
area?
Nancy Kerrigan's from near Boston.
I maybe do that. I watched the documentaries.
Did you see I, Tonya?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. I loved the acting in it.
Yep.
I think it was sometimes messy. I think it was.
I think the seams showed at times.
Yes. And yeah. I also think that I walked away and I'm not totally sure that they nailed the comedic tone towards domestic violence that they had. But hell, they were trying. I think Margot Robbie's performance is incredible.
Yeah, I thought
the casting was phenomenal.
Yeah. Also, I know they couldn't get the rights, but the fact that she skated, I think, at the Olympics to the Jurassic Park theme song is so bananas and such an unbelievable capstone that, like, I deeply missed it.
Okay, so speaking of music, I didn't like a lot of the music in that.
Yeah, the music was overly present.
Yes.
I also think the lead actress in Phantom Thread not being nominated was also such a
That was my favorite movie of last year.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Get Out, technically, but like whatever. Everyone can say
my
that.
Three favorite movies of last year were Phantom Thread, Get Out, and Logan. So
oh, interesting. I haven't seen Logan.
I didn't finish Logan, but that's not a shock.
What were yours?
Oh, Get Out and Phantom Thread, and I think that was it. Oh, and I saw Force Majeure, which did not come out last year.
Yeah.
But I watched it last year, so it counts. Have you seen that?
I was told by a producer friend that I should see
it. It's one of the best movies I've seen in a really long time.
Okay.
It's really good.
So I just went, because if we're going to talk about movies, let's at least make it germane to the podcast.
Yes, I love this.
So Jack and I went and saw You Were Never Really Here.
Okay, I don't know that.
About a week and a half ago. It's Joaquin Phoenix in a Lynn Ramsey film.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
That movie was unbelievable.
Really?
That was an unbelievable film. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It was 95 minutes. The last text I have from Jack is him sending me a lengthy Twitter moments link of 280 character reviews of the film, including Edgar Wright in there. A week before then, or 10 days before then, the last text was him for discussing a Reddit Q&A with the director. And did you see the trailer for Joaquin Phoenix's next movie based on his performance? The day before that, I had sent him a podcast to listen to by the Directors Guild of America, where Lynn Ramsey was interviewed about the making of this film. So he and I basically, the day before that, when we actually saw the movie, we were talking about the score by Johnny Greenwood. Jack and my last 2 weeks of conversation.
Should we reenact some? Can we reenact some of this?
Here, let's go with that.
Okay, so Nicole, who do you want to be?
I'll be Gareth, because I'm on that side of the screen.
Okay. Do you have Spotify? Because this soundtrack, in and of itself, is amazing.
The movie wrecked me, reading everything about it. So glad to see that in the theater. I was so hooked.
I think I'm going to see it again.
I'd be down. Want to bring my Greenwood-obsessed friend? I mean this entirely as a compliment. I barely noticed the score till that moment you pointed it out.
If you don't notice something, then the whoever did a good job.
And that's a quote.
I was just all over that Phantom Thread score. I was excited when I read he was doing this one. It's so brooding and arrhythmic. The perfect PTSD soundtrack.
A perfectly effective and affecting mood piece. If you want to feel grimly tense and dark, have I got a movie for you? This is so delightful. It's not pretentious.
It's not really pretentious. Here's why it's not pretentious. That wasn't what I thought.
It's not pretentious because it's private. I think it's only pretentious if you're not really friends, and you are,
right,
or if you're doing it for a third party.
So this gets into something, and like, I don't know, I've been thinking about the nature of awards a lot recently.
Right.
What do they mean? Like, what are we really doing here?
They're nothing. They're promotional. Right? Aren't they just like you pay to get a certain amount of attention, and then if you get the awards, now more people will see or know or watch your thing. Like, they're industry promotion, right?
Right. Well, that's
for the most part. Sorry, Peabody's.
I've wrestled with this. Like, the cool thing about going to the Peabody's last year is we sat with one of the guys who's the chairman of the voting committee.
Right.
And he said, we designed these that you have to sit in a room,
mm-hmm,
and they screen everything.
That's
in full.
Huge. Right.
They get together 3 or 4 times a year. They sit down. They talk about it, things like that. And, like, I'm not saying that I'm right or wrong. I just have been thinking through the nature of awards.
But also, like, it's a reason to try to make good things that will affect people. Maybe that's a way to think of it too.
But I think the reason to make good things that affect people
is because they're good things.
That's fair.
I didn't think about that before I said it.
I mean, in a world where there's not quite as much, because of the internet, not quite as much gatekeeping, do traditional markers like award shows start to mean maybe less?
But as we talk about the last year, and it's somewhere in my inbox, but just one of my favorite critics like that is Jerry Saltz. Mm-hmm. New York Magazine just won the Pulitzer. And on the 1 year anniversary of meeting Dave, I had this crazy bonkers experience where I met Jerry Saltz. It was one of the strangest, most beautiful interactions of my life. It's somewhere in my inbox, yeah, because I wrote about it and I sent it to a couple people.
Pull it up.
So, all right. So the craziest thing that happened to me. So I talked to earlier, we did this project with our friend Dave, and Dave died. And so it was the 1 year anniversary of meeting him. And so Todd, who sent something earlier, who we do our weekly check-in.
Yes.
He and I were getting together to mark that anniversary and go get a cup of coffee.
Great.
And I was in a foul mood, and all of our meeting was not cool. It was not good. It was disappointing. It ended with us yelling at a self checkout at a CVS. And so I went to my family and I were going to go to the Outsider Art Fair that day. As we're checking in, I look to my left and there is Jerry Saltz, New York Magazine art critic. And I've always wanted to meet this guy.
When
I was like a 24-year-old office drone, I read his collected criticism, Seeing Out Loud, which was basically his Village Voice collection at that age. And it made me love art.
Yes.
And I just reached over to him and was like, Jerry, how are you? My name's Gareth. I've always wanted to meet you. I love your work. I used to hang out at Zier Smith Gallery, RIP, and hope that you would walk in and get to know you. He goes, I loved them. It's so sad they're gone. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm so glad to meet you. I read Seeing Out Loud when I was 24. I was like an office drone. And I really, you know, it just made me love art. And he goes, oh, are you an artist? And like on this day of all, like, it is like the most existentially loaded question. And I'm just sort of like, so then he's like, what do you do? I was like, I'm a writer, producer, director, mostly sports. And he goes, oh, I love sports. What seems to you like? He was like, I like anybody in New York. I love the Giants, I love the Yankees, etc. And I was like, he was like, what about you? I was like, I used to work for the Patriots. I'm rooting for them today. It was the day of the AFC Championship.
Right.
And he was just like, oh, Boston, huh? I was like, well, she's from there. And I pointed to my wife, who's like down the ground wrestling with my son's coat. And he just goes, Boston? He turns to me and goes, fuck you, Boston. And like gives like the full fangool with his arms, like with our kids watching. And I just like, I was floored, like just jaw drop on the floor. And he just turns heel and walks away.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And Amy turns to me. Amy turns to me and she just goes, who was that? And I was like, that was Jerry Saltz. I have always wanted to meet him. So we go through the exhibit. All right. And Jerry has also written about if he is looking at stuff, don't bother him.
Okay.
That is when he's doing his job.
Right.
Which makes sense because,
yes,
like, he is an art critic. So his job is to look at art. So yes, I'm seeing him around. And we were in this one booth that showed the drawings of this woman, Susan Takaranga King. And she's this New Zealand woman, mentally disabled, deaf, mute. She just draws the most unbelievable, like, landscapes and drawings that's got, like, influences like Donald Duck is in there, Woody Woodpecker. It's just, they're stunning. And I encourage anybody listening to Google her right now. Susan King, Chris Byrne Gallery, a few others, you can find her. So we go to put our coats on. As we're putting our coats on, Jerry Saltz walks past again. And now we're outside so I can bother him.
Not looking at art.
So I tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, Jerry, I just want to stop you one more time before we go. I know enough not to bother you while you're looking at art. And he's like, oh, you did read my work. And
right.
He was like, we had a little repartee going. And I just said, when I was over there looking at Susan King, like the moment that I discovered her a few years ago, it was such, I loved her work immediately. And when you loved it, it was a major validation of my taste. He was like, oh my God, she's unbelievable. And there's so many modern analogs. And I was like, well, totally. One of the first things I thought of was Joyce Pensado and her drawings. And he goes, wow, you have a good eye. I never thought of that. And Amy is standing there. She kind of gets a little proud. And I swear to God, this is true. Jerry Saltz turns on me and something changes. And he just leans into me. He's like staring down at me from a foot below. And he just basically is like, you're an artist. You're a fucking artist. And you need to get out there and get rejected and get to work. He's like, I know you have babies. I can see them right here. They're beautiful babies. You can't be reckless. But you have something inside that you are trying to say, and you're not saying it.
Almost as if he had been possessed mid-conversation and a voice from the gods was speaking through his body.
He totally saw through me. Like, all the resentment.
Amazing.
And BS from early in the day. He saw through to my soul in a way that nobody ever has. He cut me open right there. It was honestly one of the greatest moments of my entire life.
Right.
And I turned and looked at Amy, and Amy just says, she was like, you should go take a moment outside. That seemed important.
Wow.
So I went outside. And so I wrote all of this up in an essay. It was a life-changing moment. And I sent it to my friend Rachel, a co-conspirator and collaborator.
Right.
And she wrote back to me, if you do not send that essay to Jerry Saltz, I'm going to. And I have his email address. But if we're really doing our due diligence, I should send that essay to Jerry Saltz.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Due diligence.
How long ago was this encounter?
This is the day of the AFC Championship game. So this was like 3 months ago.
Okay.
So congratulations. And some, what are we calling this? I mean, it's an essay. It's like 9 pages. So this is art.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And some art in your honor or art you inspired?
Inspired and, is where
okay.
It was leaning.
And I don't like the sum and art
yes.
You inspired Jerry. First of all,
mm-hmm.
Congratulations on the Pulitzer.
Yes.
We met back in January at the Outsider Art Fair, and I wanted to share something with you.
Great.
As I said then, I am a huge fan of your work and criticism. So obviously, I was thrilled to see you
won. Yes, thrilled. Feels good.
Great. To see you recognized.
Yes. Okay.
When we met at the Outsider Fair, you gave me quite the pep talk. That's the name of the essay, by the way.
Oh, great.
And you told me to quit stalling and get to work and make art. So I wrote this about that. And I send it to my friend Rachel, and she said, if you don't send that to Jerry Saltz, I'm going to. Now, I am sending it to you. I hope you like it. But more than that, I thank you for inspiring it and me to do the work.
Get a comma in there.
Be well.
Be well, Gareth Hughes. Okay, now I'm going to go to the attachments. Let's see. Attach here. Letting me send it. All right, I'm going
to... Do it.
Well, let me just, in a cursory sense, let me answer the trivia question.
Okay.
Right or wrong?
Great. And we actually do have two trivia questions.
Okay.
So let's say one guess, and if you get it wrong, but we want you to send it.
I'm going to send it.
At the 2016 Summer Olympics, the oiled-up flag bearer from Tonga instantly went viral. Unfortunately, internet fame means nothing, and he won no medals. What sport did he compete in? A, archery. B, rowing. C, taekwondo. D, Greco-Roman wrestling.
I will go C, taekwondo.
Are you sure?
Yeah, sure.
You're just guessing. You're just throwing it out there?
Yeah, I know he was a cross-country skier as well.
Right. There's no way it's Greco. Is Greco-Roman wrestling still in the Olympics?
Yeah.
No.
This guy would have done the Olympics. He'd know.
Oh, Greco. Wait, wrestling. It's complicated. I don't know. Take that part out. I don't remember.
No, we're not taking it out. You don't work for NBC Sports anymore, so people can know sometimes you're bad at the Olympics. I've too long been held
so
under
it
the
rowing?
Tyranny.
Is that what I should have said? Is this like, wait, don't tell me when you say it wrong. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, unclear. Okay, so what's your guess? Look at Rachel and say your guess.
I say, give me the options again.
A, archery. B, rowing. C, taekwondo. D, Greco-Roman wrestling.
I'm going taekwondo.
You are correct.
Wow, I don't need to send this email then.
You don't, but you're going to. It took all of my restraint. I almost hit the key for you, and I know that would have been wrong. Now, your follow-up question, which will apply to this Jason Isaacs. Yeah.
Nice. Well done.
Don't think about it. Move on to this other worse email that we're going to make you send.
Okay, got it.
So the Jason Isaacs email will apply to this follow-up question. And you will send it. This time you get two chances. Okay. Oh, God damn it. Kita followed his fame to the 2018 Winter Olympics, where he learned a sport in 2 years in order to be a flag bearer again. What sport was that? A, cross-country skiing. B,
J-bone.
Skeleton.
I've already sent my email. I've done my time.
Because I knew it. So much Olympic venom you want to throw at me.
Yeah, I'm tired of it. Tired of it. What's your last email thought?
My last email thought is I wanted to thank you. I've been wanting to send that to Jerry Saltz for a while.
Good.
It was like on the last Sunday in January in 2017, I met a New York magazine writer who changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly 1 year later, I met another one. And as Jerry likes to say, art first, all else will follow. And I've been trying to live by those words ever since we met.
I love it.
And you're off the hook for sending an email to Jason Isaacs, which maybe is for the best.
Yeah, later, J-Bone. I'll just save that in the drafts. Now it's up to 1326.
God bless.
Yeah.
Gareth, do you have anything you'd like to promote?
Listen to the Just on Sports podcast every week. It's lots of fun. Matt, you're probably going to be an upcoming guest.
Love it.
He's free.
Just get ready.
Bring it on.
And thank you guys very much. This was a lot of fun, and I pity the person who has to edit it because it was very long.
And if you want to reach us, you can get us at inboxthepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at inboxthepodcast.
Bye. You're still using Outlook?
So my daughter for Christmas last year gave me a fart machine.
She did?
Yes.
Did it look like a pencil sharpener kind of thing?
No, it looked like a small little box. Our neighbor had had one, and she thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen. He had taped it to the underside of their dining room table, and so he would occasionally just like hit the fart button. And she was five, and it was the funniest thing she'd ever done. And so I got a fart machine for Christmas. It was so lovely.
Pooter is very against fart machines because they think it sounds inauthentic.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really have a philosophy on this.
Yeah, they do. Okay. They big time do.
Yeah, farts.com has a philosophy about this.
That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.